Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we're going to play a clip, and this is Steve Bannon and Alex Jones. And well, they're going to be talking about how America is overthrowing the globalists. Well, we're not quite doing that yet, okay? but there is some progress being made there. Compared to, in other words, the information's coming out more and more all about how corrupt Joe Biden's going to go down. I mean, he's going to be impeached and probably sent to prison. I think that's going to happen. Has got to. I think, you know, America won't survive unless Biden is taken out of there. Unless he is taken out of that office, he'll destroy us completely. And so go ahead and play the clip.
So we'll talk about that. Steve Bannon, great to have you. And I'm going to try to just shut up and let you talk like you let me do on your show, because you've got a lot of knowledge for folks. We appreciate you.
Alex, thanks. And thanks for the kind words. Look, think about what's happened just in the last couple of days. You've got the, you know, and Alex, you've always been portrayed by the mainstream media, New York Times, whatever, this conspiracy theory guy, a wild man, tinfoil hat. But if you take President Trump's responses to Tucker Carlson, that great interview that was done at Mar-a-Lago yesterday and played last night on Tucker's show, and particularly President Trump when asked, who are the greatest enemies? Now that you've got the CCP, you know, this Legion of Doom with the mullahs in Iran, with Erdogan in Turkey, with the KGB and Putin in Russia. And he says the administrative state, the deep state, it's people inside our government. They're against us. You couple that with Bobby Kennedy Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s speech at Hillsdale, which I think is historic. In fact, we're going to break it down later tonight on our 6 o'clock show. If you take those two, that's what Alex Jones has been talking about for a decade. I mean, it's like they went back and looked at your show notes. So I tell people, and this is when you came on with the great book about the Great Reset, which was had all the links to it, had all the research done to it, that this has been very obvious to people that have studied this for a while. And now it's come up that you have a guy who's been president of the United States and commander in chief, gave us 4 years of peace and prosperity. He's leading in all the polls in the primary. He's leading head-to-head matchups with Biden. In all likelihood, he'll be back into the White House in January of 2025. I had Matt Gaetz on the show today that said, hey, Trump realizes now personnel's policy. He made some mistakes in personnel. He understands that they're going to come at him hard. You combine what Trump said, what Matt Gaetz said today on the deep state, Bobby Kennedy, and everything that's happening with these intelligence leaks right now coming out of the Pentagon or the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I don't think you sound like a conspiracy theorist anymore. I think you sound like somebody that understood and could break down the system and see how the system works. And right now, people have to understand we're in a dogfight. There's one side's going to win this, and one side's going to lose. And it is not a foregone conclusion by a long shot that we're going to win. But right now, I feel the best I've ever felt in this fight because we have – think about it. Bobby Kennedy, they came out yesterday. One of the first poll that was taken with Kennedy in the race has got Kennedy at 10% in the Democratic primary. Biden at 7, Kennedy at 10. And remember, there are no Democrats that support – His take on big pharma and the pharmaceutical industrial complex. The left has totally been bought off. Maybe a small amount of voters, but MSNBC, New York Times, CNN are owned by Pfizer, owned by big pharma. So I think it's amazing what's happened over the last couple of days. And I would just tell people, hey, we're in the fight right now. You got a global conflict. You got a global financial conflict, but it's all the populist nationalist versus the globalist. The globalist elite, and it's game on.
Well, that's why I got so mad at the Q people. I don't want to just start fights, but you were a top advisor to Trump. You were there. You knew you were surrounded. He was surrounded. You knew he was literally in the arena. And then they're like, no, the government's all captured by good people. We're winning. We're invincible. No, you got to be honest with people. This is like a Muhammad Ali match with George Foreman. This is battling right into the 12th round, folks. I mean, we have a chance to win. We have an edge. And as soon as people realize that we're in a real war, we'll have way more than an edge. But this lackadaisical attitude that everything's going to be fine is delusional and is extremely dangerous. And that's why you hammer the point, and maybe you can speak to that, that people need to get their game face on and realize this is historic, this is the future, and the tyranny they're bringing in with the central bank digital currencies and the New World Order and the social credit score will make us like communist China. This is not a game. They are closing the gate on us. They are locking our asses up.
Yeah, I don't think the one thing about that is that I've never agreed with, although I think there's some very interesting elements that come out that you see as true over time. The one thing I've never gotten is this whole thing about these white hats and these white hats versus black hats and the white hats. Hey, that's all a fantasy. That's just, I can tell you from being on the inside and being his right hand man or one of his right hand men for the first, at least first year or first 9 months and fighting fights in the National Security Council and others. The government is very much, and they've done this. Remember, this whole thing of an administrative state, what the progressive left thought through is that they wanted to be impervious to elections. So they basically created a fourth branch of government that's totally outside the Constitution. That fourth branch of government, not just the alphabet agencies, but also weaponizing the cabinet positions, to form an administrative state that has their own courts, has its own rules and regulations, is able to promulgate those rules and regulations, and has enforcement, as you've been the absolute tip of the spear of showing how IRS and ATF and all these different elements have their own law enforcement. They have their own up-armored, they have their EPA. They have all their up-armored enforcement apparatus. That's the administrative state. The deep rogue element of that is the deep state. That is the combination of the intelligence agencies and now the law enforcement and national security into one kind of core group that has its own mentality that's impervious to what democratically elected presidents that stand for the Constitution. And our Republican form of government, they're totally against. They have their own mindset. You can see this, quite frankly, in these Pentagon leaks right now. Now, there's Matt Cates breathed the theory today. He thinks that may even be the deep state leaking on purpose, okay, to try to get Europe up there. All I would say, if that's the case, the one thing I can tell you from looking at this is that the triumphalist narrative about Ukraine is absolutely dead wrong, because there they have the numbers about the combat casualties. There they have the information going back and forth about the folly about this spring offensive by Zelensky. What a folly it is. It also has the fact that their special operators, I mean, Posobiec broke this on the show Monday morning. He went through it overnight. That there's all type of special operators, including 14 Americans. I think there's a couple of hundred special forces from NATO already working inside Ukraine and killing Russians.
Well, Steve, we're actually putting a compilation together, not to toot my horn, but before February of last year, I said the U.S. is already there. They're gearing up for a war. Russia's going to invade in late February. I don't have like a lot of incredible context, but I have a lot of context that I guess are amazing. And I know people personally whose sons and whose brothers are over there in Army Special Operations, and people are being killed. And believe me, it's not 100 and something. There are thousands of U.S. Special Forces that have been sheep dipped into neighboring countries' militaries or into other operational groups under other names that are there. A lot of Americans are getting killed. They have a coalition of more than, I'd say, 50 countries that have been there fighting. So this has been going on before Russia, quote, invaded. That's because Russia was losing and being pushed all the way to their border. The little green men, as they call the Russians, were already battling U.S. forces and losing 14 months ago. That's why Putin did what he did. And I'm not defending what Putin did, but the Russians had to double down because they were getting their ass kicked, because we are at war with Russia.
We have to, by the way, when you get that compilation, we'd love to get you back on the show. And here's why. We got to make this, quite frankly, if they have not gone to the Gang of Eight, the intelligence for presidential actions, if they have not informed certain elements of armed services, I believe this can be used in an impeachment effort. This is completely unacceptable. This is once again the administrative and deep state that wants the forever wars. And now they know that Republicans in the House are sitting there specifically in the budget and saying, we don't want this. We want troops extracted from Syria.
And Steve, you have so much knowledge. For folks that don't know, talk about the elephant in the room. Spend some time on that. There's a law that obviously Congress has to be informed or be in control of a war. And for the first time in decades, they're trying to enforce that. Explain that to people.
Well, you've got the use of military force. Remember, the president doesn't just have the power. They have this War Powers Act, but even the War Powers Act, which I think is quite frankly unconstitutional, in the War Powers Act, you've got to go get a resolution. We've been dealing off this use of military force since 2001, essentially, that justified the Iraq invasion and Afghanistan invasion. This is what people are trying to bring up to try to unwind that. But just as importantly, from the original Church Committee in the 70s because of the CIA, and you had Ron Paul on, I think the Timcast the other night, talking about when the country changed about the assassination of President Kennedy. He said, hey, he bluntly said it was the CIA that did it. Those types of elements that went to the Church Committee made sure that even for special operators action, for covert action, okay, what you were talking about in Ukraine, for covert actions, you have to have what's called a presidential finding. You have to go back to what's called the Gang of Eight, the heads and the ranking members of the various parties in the House and the Senate, to essentially get approval or at least get sign off to make the case of what a covert action is by what's called a presidential action, right? A presidential finding, I think it's the technical term. So in two elements, the House in the Senate, but particularly the House, which is really the people's house, is supposed to have some modicum of at least information sharing and or control. You've totally gotten away from this. This is part of what you call the deep state. This is what Trump fought. And for the people that could do this white hat versus black hat, there are not many white hats, or I would say people that are really populist and nationalist that put America first at the senior levels, both the Bush administration, but really Obama at the field grade level, both in the intelligence services and in the military, eviscerated the Pentagon. This is why you had the thing that's so woke. Alex, is that this has been bred into the system. The good guys were weeded out. So all these people sit there and go, it's a big battle between white hats and dark hats. It's just not the case. And you could look, President Trump struggles this every day. There's white hats. Why would you have the lawfare against him at the highest levels? And I think for your audience, follow Mike Davis, follow what they're doing at Colangelo, this guy Colangelo at the Justice Department with Bragg, and follow what Stephen Miller and America First Legal and Jeffrey Clark are doing on the Mar-a-Lago situation. You see the interconnectivity and the coordination with the Justice Department hardwired back to Biden's White House counsel.
And in between that, we now know about these Soros think tanks. People always say, well, he's financing all these new horrible DAs, but he's not giving them orders. Yes, he is. They go to these seminar groups. They get given money, and then they're given their marching orders, and that's all coming out. Obviously, they're in Manhattan with Alvin Bragg. But I want to go back to what you were just saying, because it's so important. You're a Navy man. You were on a ship with nuclear weapons, all classified, you know, and that kind of gave you a background to see the world clearly, because I've listened to the show. I know you've talked about it, and I've read your bio. But case in point, Biden bragged, Victoria knew, they all bragged that they were going to blow the pipeline up. Then they blew it up. But Army and Navy Special Warfare, the Navy SEALs have to report to Congress under law. So Biden went to Panama, had regular Navy repair divers who are great people as well, very talented. You know, they got under thousands of feet and fixed things. They trained them up and had them go to the mission because that was regular Navy and just a regular op, so they would not have it report back. So we're talking serious impeachable offenses here, trying to keep Congress in the dark that goes way beyond Iran-Contra.
Way beyond Iran-Contra. I mean, look, this is a shooting war. Iran-Contra was, you know, down in Central America, totally different in scale. This is a shooting war, and you've got to get to the bottom of Nord Stream 2. I mean, it's so obvious. The Swedes right now, as you know, are doing their own analysis, and the Swedes have said it is impossible to bend any sort of like even paramilitary group from Ukraine or any kind of group of sophisticated amateurs, Ukrainian patriots that came together, that this was a state force. And the only state force that had the sophistication to do that in that area is the United States. That's why different, Seymour Hersh and other people are coming out. And I realize his things, at least what he's presented to date, is not the most well sourced. But if you look at the level of detail he had, I believe strongly, knowing the capabilities, that only someone as sophisticated as the United States Navy, and not just Navy SEALs, like you said, deep divers and other type of personnel, unless you can show me that the British did it under our direction, I don't know of another group of operators that could take that out. And that's just one of many. You talk about the special operators that were there with Victoria Nuland in the biolabs. There's so much about Ukraine's not that is unknown, that doesn't make any sense. Okay. And that's why we need a much more aggressive oversight on this. And I think armed services has got to get into this big time because, look, I think there are a number of impeachable offenses on this, as I think there are impeachable offenses on this whole situation in Mar-a-Lago of what we're finding out now about the FOIA request, about him waiving Trump's executive privilege and knowing what was happening beforehand, I think, to cover what they knew about his own classified documents that they knew they had the University of Pennsylvania and other places.
Absolutely. So, the Chinese food restaurant in his garage. So we got 5 minutes left. I want to give you the floor, 35,000-foot view, rallying the troops. What you think we should be looking for as the globalists lose support worldwide? How are they going to try to pull a rabbit out of a hat?
Most powerful thing you said yesterday is about everybody needs to be engaged right now. Everybody is in this troop. And you can be a force multiplier by pushing out content nonstop. You can be you can get local. You can be a precinct committeeman. You can get to your local. Remember, we got to take control of this on a local basis to be able to take control of a national basis. Don't just obsess about the 2024 election. That's for amateurs. This fight is right now. We're in a global conflict, right, on the Eurasian landmass. We're going to be if we don't take unrestricted warfare and start decoupling from China right now and decoupling in capital markets, cut them off from all money, cut them off from technology. We're going to be in a shooting war, in a kinetic war in Taiwan. And look, as a junior, a guy back in the 70s, I was a part of the 7th Fleet on a destroyer. I was in Kaohsiung, the South China Sea, the Straits of Taiwan. I had gates on today. I think the 7th, if we were to win in the first phase of kinetic war against the Chinese Communist Party, PLA, now given what they have, it would at least minimum come at a cost, I believe, of a loss of a carry battle group and the loss of 10 to 12,000 sailors. And we don't want to be there. We've got other aspects. But you've got a shooting war. You've got this massive financial crisis that's happening. The House right now is fighting on the spending cuts, about the debt ceiling. It's never a better time in American history to be engaged to save your country. And you've got two ways to do it, and it doesn't cost you a nickel. Number one, you'd be a force multiplier. Everything Alex Jones is putting out, everything War Room is putting out, and other shows like that. Number two is get engaged, volunteer, put the golf clubs up, put the tennis rackets up, and get engaged, because right now this is a fight for the – this is a greater fight than in 1776. It's a greater fight than in the Civil War. It's a greater fight than even in the Great Depression, World War II. This is the greatest struggle session the American Republic's ever had. And the only way we get through this is this audience. Trump's not going to get you through. Tucker's not going to get you through. Alex Jones, Steve Bannon, no one individual. This has got to be a team effort from the people. And I like our odds, Alex. If everybody puts their shoulder to the wheel, I like our odds a lot.
Okay, take me back already. Already, we are back. And, you know, I agree with everything he was saying there. Joe, he did make the point about Obama. Remember, Joe, we were the only ones back during the entire 8 years of Obama. From day one, we were telling people how he's purging people. We shouted it.
Hello.
And it doesn't seem like anybody was listening. And so, are you there, Joe? Joe?
Sir.
Are you there, Joe? Hello. Already. Okay. I got apparently. Okay. Maybe he's going to try to call back. I don't know. What happened there? Anyhow, we tried to tell him, folks. We really did. Okay. Are you there, Joe?
Hello, Pastor?
Yeah. Yeah. You couldn't hear us. We can hear you. Can you hear me?
Pastor Ernie, are you there?
Can you talk to him, Kyle? Can you greet you? Kyle, can you?
I can hear you, Ernie.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yeah. Something weird happened.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. I could hear you all along there.
Okay, I could hear absolutely nothing, so sorry about that.
I hope you... Did you hear the clip that we played?
Yeah, I heard a good part of it, yeah.
Oh, so you lost a part of it then, okay.
But just there at the end, just at the end.
All righty. Anyhow, I was saying how he made the point about Obama. We were telling people for the entire 8 years when Obama was in office, we were shouting it. Can't you see what he was doing?
What he's doing now. I remember the phrase, I almost felt like I was one of those liberals repeating myself. No. look, what he's doing now is almost a couple times a week, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, it was. And O'Reilly was driving me crazy because O'Reilly kept coming out, and he wasn't the only one saying that Obama was just not up to the job. Obama was incompetent. And we were trying to tell him, look, this guy is destroying, he's doing to our country what no military could do. He's destroying it piece by piece from within. And he was getting his orders directly from George Soros. Directly. And that's, in fact, that's what he told. Remember when he had that argument with Jesse Jackson?
Jesse Jackson was expecting him to come to him. And that's when he made that famous statement, I don't need to come to you. I don't need you. I've got George Soros.
Yeah. And Jackson said, you don't have time for Jesse Jackson and the Rainbow Coalition. And he said, I don't. I don't need you.
Don't need you.
I've got George Soros, that rich old white man, right?
You know, we were about the only ones that kept talking about that. Other than that, there was a big media blackout on that story. But we knew he said it, we heard it, and we kept telling the folks.
If the people in this country realize how they have been so betrayed by the mainstream media, how to the extent that they've been betrayed, do you think that there's enough integrity left in them if they realized that they would rise up against the... I know that the what they call mainstream media has lost a lot of credibility. I mean, they're down there with lawyers and used car salesmen where it comes to believability, and politicians.
There's a percentage that will be waking up. But I do remember, you go back and look at the history of education in the world, and to kind of sum it up, in Germany and Prussia, it actually started in Prussia. The purpose of public education was to raise the citizen up so that no matter what truth hits them, they will believe what they were taught by the state, even if it means their death and destruction. And some of these people have been so brainwashed through the public school system, through the liberal media, I don't think that any amount of truth will awaken some of them, but if we can awaken 20%, 30%, we can turn this country around. In fact, that leads me to one of the greatest lies that people have been told. Everything that Joe Biden does, he claims is because of what? Climate change, because, the earth is warming and we must save the planet Earth. Headlines. If you look at things right now, one of the stories, Biden hands environmentalists major victory in fight against mining, oil drilling. And the subheadline is, it's his latest attempt to pay lip service to all the radical environmentalists, all those that... What he's done is he's locked up vast swaths of federal lands eligible for any kind of energy development in an effort to combat climate change, reduce carbon emissions. And what they've done is gone to the BLM, Bureau of Land Management, that normally oversees grazing lands, drilling, mining. They lease out lands to conservation uses. And basically what they're going to do is let the environmentalists come in, and their claims to use the land for something else will be first priority, the environmental claims, over any usage that has to do with the oil and gas industry.
Right. Now, so when you were talking about this land, 750 million acres of rare earth, lands where there's rare earth minerals, which we need. I mean, we really need those. China has most of all these. We have a huge amount of that here, but Biden will not let us drill on it. He will not dig
mine.
There. Yeah. Mine it. Well, he won't let us mine it.
Each one of those EV batteries for the electric vehicle weighs 1,000 pounds. And it needs 25 pounds of lithium, 60 pounds of nickel, 44 pounds of manganese, 30 pounds of cobalt, 200 pounds of copper, 400 pounds of aluminum, and then other steel and plastic. So what he's done is he's made sure that all the electric batteries, the batteries for the electric vehicles, are all made in China, because China is the only one that has access to all of the rare earth elements in these, you know, lithium and copper and cobalt. And he shut down everything that's we have. So we cannot make batteries here because, what? We can't get the materials. And where they do mine them around the world, it's destroying the environment. It's destroying the miners. We talked about they were mining for cobalt in Congo, killing people, destroying a whole nation, a large area there of people, poisoning them, reducing them in poverty. What they're doing there is just a human rights violation that it's near what the Nazis did. You know, it will be in time because of the long-term health effects. So we can see that this whole concept, this environmental movement, look at these headlines. Biden cracks down on air conditioners as the war on appliances continue. Forget stoves. Movement to ban new homes from having any natural gas at all. Oh, one of the headlines was he wants to, he's threatening all our appliances, wants to make sure we have no gas appliances. He doesn't want, he's got a campaign going against washing machines, against dryers, goes on and on and on. And what's behind all this? Well, Pastor, you know, you've been explaining to people it's all about control. They want to control the environment, control what's produced, what the American people can buy. And I put together a little study here. I'm going to just do bits and pieces of it, folks, because it would take an hour to do what I have in front of me. But I want to go back to 1923, back when you were just a boy in school, Pastor.
Yeah.
Well, I was just a couple of years behind you.
Yeah.
New York Times. Okay, now remember, this is all about global warming, climate change. You know, they changed the name when they found out it wasn't warming, it's climate change, right? New York Times. The Arctic ice was melting. A radical change in climate conditions and hitherto unheard of temperatures. Old glaciers disappeared, and land once covered in ice is bare. 1923, and then again, 1939. All the glaciers in eastern Greenland are melting. 1947, the rise of the ocean, the rise of the surface of the ocean, okay. 52, glaciers in Norway and Alaska are going away. We won't have them anymore. 55, the ice in the Arctic is down. Oh, we're losing ice in the Arctic. Same thing. 58, ice pack's going to go away. 67, it's too late to avoid a period of famine for the Earth, Paul Ehrlich. Prediction by 1975, the world famines. 1970, a new ice age is coming. Uh-oh, wait a minute. A minute ago, everything was melting, and now in 1970, ice age is coming. It's going to cause chaos in the world. Went on to predict that there'll be rationing water by 74. Food by 1980 will be rationed. And then in 1971, the world is 50 years away from a disastrous ice age. In 1972, we have 10 years to stop the catastrophe that's coming in the environment. We've got to give power to government. Pastor, do you kind of see a picture here?
Yeah, Joe, I remember. Let me tell you something. I remember back then in the 70s, Paul Ehrlich, actually, his publishing company actually sent me his book, wanting to come on my radio program.
Radio.
Yeah. And I was reading, and I just shook my head, and I thought, what a bunch of garbage. I can't, you know, this at that time, he was going on all the talk shows. Hang tight. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome to God's world. Start here.
Miracles start here.
He'll take away your sin.
Take away your sin.
Open up your heart.
Open up your heart.
Leave your fears behind.
Leave them all behind.
You'll be living there.
You'll be living there.
Until the for you and I, that he was crucified.
Alrighty, we are back. Joe, you've got like 2 minutes to sum up. All the lines are lit up. So.
Okay, I'm going to do two quick things. In 74, space satellites show the ice age is coming fast. 74, another ice age. 78, international team conclude that there is no end in sight to the cooling trend that's coming. And yet, in 1979, all of a sudden, people will live when there is no ice at the North Pole. So, you know, and this goes on like this every year up until this year. You have been lied to, deceived over and over and over. People have been made afraid. God says he's in charge of the weather. And if you read the book of Job, it explains very much. He says it's for, he can either bless, curse the earth, punish, or he just takes care of his creation. He's the one that's in charge. If you have faith, you don't have fear.
Not only that,
story.
Joe.
Otherwise, be like the other sheep and be terribly afraid that something bad, if you don't trust your government, you're going to die.
The very last verse in Genesis 8, God makes you a promise that as long as he keeps this earth, he'll keep all of the seasons. And so
exactly.
All right, let's go. And we're going to take some calls. So who do we have out there? Let's go out to Massachusetts and talk to Gail. Gail, you're in the air.
Yes. Hi, Pastor Ernie. I'm not sure if you can hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Sure,
oh,
go
okay.
Ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm very nervous about calling, but I just wanted to talk about this this green hoax, this environmental hoax thing. You know, we are carbon-based life forms. And carbon dioxide is a noble gas, and the more carbon dioxide we have on the planet, the greener the planet is. Plants breathe carbon dioxide. They need carbon dioxide to breathe to live, and they expire. They breathe out oxygen. This is what we breathe. It is a beautiful, perfect, God-made system. We're being hoaxed again, just like the jab stuff. I'm just alarmed at how we can fall for this nonsense. We need carbon dioxide. Plants need carbon dioxide because we need oxygen that they produce.
Gail,
it's a seamless system.
We've been telling people that for 50 years here on this radio
but
program.
But look at what you know. They keep drilling and drilling and drilling these lies, and we're all brainwashed. And it's nonsense.
That's what the communists.
And also, Pastor Ernie, I don't want to hold up the lines. I just wanted to make a comment. You had a caller on Monday. I think he was the first caller, and he was talking about General Eisenhower, and he had watched a video saying that General Eisenhower murdered millions in the German death camps or something like that, and other atrocities. And then I couldn't believe it. And then he called again last night. But he has his own radio broadcast. I think you know him. I call him, the caller Shipwreck. But, the thing is that, like you were saying last night, we can't even believe our own eyes anymore. They're able to produce with just a few clips of a film or whatever. They can then make the technology is so advanced. Just like you were saying, but I want to comment about maligning General Eisenhower. They're trying to destroy our history.
Yeah, I know that.
For a beautiful general and President Eisenhower, it's unforgivable for us to even think would be true.
Yeah, I didn't agree with that, but
it's just like what they're going to be doing. The technology is so advanced from what we think that they're going to. One of the things that they've got lined up to scare us is an alien invasion, and they're going to do this thing, in the sky.
I hear you, but Gail, I have to move on because all the lines are lit up. I'm running out of time, but thank you for calling. Let's go out to Texas, and we have Brian. Brian, you're in the air.
Thank you, Pastor Ernie. Real quick for Joe, is my call coming in?
You're loud and clear. Go ahead.
Loud and clear.
Yes, I was going to state that I'm asking to call out to Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, these guys, to please help save our technology. Let's put it specific, and that is on the microchip. We can't let China take over this microchip industry. Back to what your caller saying about and what they said yesterday about the new EPA rules. We have catalytic converters they have invented. We have emission control devices. Caterpillar, John Deere, all the big farming industries and trucking industries, they've got equipment and emission control devices that emit all these bad emissions. So I'll hang up and let the next caller come on. But, yeah, they have equipment on these vehicles that are equipped with the EPA and the federal regulations on vehicles that eliminate a lot of this stuff. So, yeah. There's more to it. We have to save our microchip industry, Pastor.
I know that.
Next caller, come on, but that's for Joe. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Brian.
Thank
Look,
you.
I just want to say this quickly before I take another call. Joe, here, to generate electricity for the electric cars, they burn coal or natural gas, and it takes a lot more coal and natural gas to be burnt to provide the electricity for these cars than it does as far as the amount of gas that's used than it does the way, you know, by just using the regular gasoline burning engines. So it's crazy. It's insane. But that's what the
it's like
why
they did with ethanol. They tried to make it save the environment. We'll have this ethanol. Well, it takes more energy to make a gallon of the alcohol to make the ethanol fuel than the alcohol is worth as far as fuel goes.
I know.
We're losing. But
yep.
It gets votes from the farmers.
I hear you. Who do we have next?
All right, let's go to Steve in Cleveland.
Okay, we got Steve in Cleveland. Cleveland, Steve. You're in the air, Steve.
Pastor Sanders, Pastor Joe. Guys are so, you're fantastic to listen to. Does anybody remember the Flintstones? They never had a problem going to point A to point B, so just kind of thought of that.
Yeah.
On
that
Bannon's
car of theirs, yep.
Oh, yeah, it was great. You know, hole in the bottom, everything. I mean, if you lost anything, you know where it was. It was behind you on the road somewhere. But on Bannon tonight, he had Dean Bachman. What was Bachman's name? The one she was running for president. She's Dean now. I can't think of her first name, the lady.
Michelle?
Michelle, it was Michelle, yeah.
Sure, she's an old friend of mine.
So the Who, not the rock group, the WHO, the one. Trump knew everything. He got us out of where we didn't belong. He put us where we needed to be, except the country is completely ignorant, and the Bible says fools. And the Bible has to have some kind of timeline, but for ignorant people, which means you don't know or you don't want to believe or whatever. Catholic religion, that would be another show. And, Pastor, you know all those. But the WHO is going to have a resolution. The Emergency Authorization Act that they just signed off on, so it's not an act anymore. The WHO is going to have something about, I'll get you anything if you need it. I got her address. I wrote it down. There's going to be two resolutions in there. If they pass that, it's got to go through once. But if it goes through a second time, it's either going to override the Senate or the Senate, something has to be voted out before the WHO goes to do the a second time. But this will take over the 196 countries of everything. If there's anything they ever want to say that we need to do anything, this is just in a nutshell. They have control. So it's something about, we got rid of our Emergency Authorization Act. They're going to have theirs if these resolutions come up pretty soon, if it gets voted through. So it's, I don't know if you knew about it. If you don't, the archive of the shows, I'll call you during the day, whatever you need. But the shows are archived, but it would be on there last night. You could sit there and watch the set. They're in 15-minute segments. And if you don't know about it, I'll call you tomorrow.
I've got those articles right here, in fact.
Yeah,
it's amazing. I just turned it on, and what she said, oh, she was so spot on. I mean, just the way you heard Bannon tonight, that's how he is, and he just puts everybody together just like you do. With him during the day and yourself during the night, if you said Rush around, because all the other talk shows, if they could just put Rush's face behind them on TV and just like have maybe about a 10-second little while they're talking, and then Rush can be in the background, and then he can open his mouth for a couple minutes and, you know, for a couple seconds while they're talking.
I got to move on, Steve. We're running out of time.
We love you guys. Take care.
Yeah, you
thank
do.
You.
All right. Thanks.
That was a good laugh.
All righty. Let's go back to California. We got Eric. Eric, you're in the air.
Hi, sir.
Hi.
Hold a moment. My phone's acting up. Sorry, I had to switch something. Have you checked out Public Advocate recently?
No.
Yeah, you want to check out Public Advocate at publicadvocateusa.org.
Publicadvocateusa.org.
Have you heard of Riley Gaines?
Yeah.
And, yeah, because it has an article about her.
Well,
and,
tell me.
And they're over $50,000 in debt right now, so they need all the financial support and everything they can get to fight the laws, to fight all the malarkey that they're trying to push on everyone.
Well, that's
trying to force everyone to hire those who are openly gay.
See, that's one of the things that Steve Bannon was talking about. When I first started in the radio, I was an anomaly. I was I was very rare because I was a conservative. I was a conservative in radio, and there wasn't. In fact, that's why I was on so many talk shows. I got invited to so many of these secular talk shows because I was a conservative, and they wanted to bring me on there. You know, even back then, the media was moving towards the left, and then Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, yeah.
Rush Limbaugh came along some years after, and all of a sudden, talk radio started moving to the right. And now, with the internet, with the there's a lot more of us out here now, so our voices are being heard. They can't silence us the way they tried before. And the mainstream media is losing credibility at a rapid rate. I think they start to realize.
I have to agree there.
Alrighty. Well, thanks. I got to move on.
Oh, one thing real fast. Also, it's stopworldcontrol.com.
Stopworldcontrol.com. All right.
Yeah, you're going to want to check that out for sure because they have information that no one else has.
Go get her. Go get her, Joe. Okay.
Okay.
Joe will get on top of that. Thanks. How much time do I have?
A couple minutes. You want to take Cliff?
Okay. All right. This is the last call. Cliff, you've got 2 minutes.
Okay, a couple of items. One was one of the things, supplements that's getting play for the shots is resveratrol, trans-resveratrol. People can research it on the Google Scholar. But an interesting segment on the David Knight Show podcast from April 11th, which was yesterday, just before the last hour, they were just talking about how China apparently successfully got some messenger RNA in milk that the rats successfully acclimated. So you can listen to that. But the important thing is an interview with a woman about the SSRI's antidepressants, which are off patent, like Zoloft, and they were saying how, very interesting, they were saying how a lot of the people that have been taking this, say married persons, have significant personality changes where their emotions seem to be blunted.
Yeah, I've heard that. In fact, we've had, that's happened to some of the people in our church.
Yeah, yeah. So it was really interesting. They gave an example of one woman, her husband started taking it, and his conversation was sparse. And she said, that's why he's my ex-husband. And how they're expanding why they're giving it to people. They're giving it to women that have menopause. An example was they gave it to a woman to stop smoking. And they get bizarre effects when they combine it with Ambien. An example. Another bizarre thing is they say people that are doing it seem to be gambling more, and they speculate that they need to do something with more of a rush to get what would be normally exciting for the average person.
Well, I'm out of time, but thanks for calling there, Cliff. Joe, you've got, how much time do we have?
5 minutes, 10 seconds.
Okay, you've got 5 minutes, Joe.
All right. In the Baptist hymnal is a song called Fight the Good Fight. And if you faithful listeners out there, you know, we keep saying fight the good, you know, keep fighting the fight, the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy right. Lay hold on life and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Run though the race, though God, through God's good grace, lift up thine eyes and seek his face. Life with its way before us lies. Christ is the path. Christ is the prize. Faint not nor fear. His arms are near. He changeth not, and thou art dear. Only believe, and thou shalt see that Christ is all in all to thee. I skipped one of the verses, but if you notice, most of these are beautiful, beautiful poems that have some of the best messages outside of God's Word, the Bible. Fighting the good fight. If you want to fight the fight, you have to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You have to have Christ in you. As I often say, Jesus said, I am in the Father is in me, and I am in you. He is in us if we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. If we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, we have eternal life. We have peace. We have hope. We have put our life in Him. And how do you have that Holy Spirit? How do you get that peace that passes all understanding? Well, Jesus, the first word He said in His ministry, He said, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4:17. He is the kingdom of heaven. He is the one. And Scripture tells us in Acts 3, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that your sins may be erased. You have to repent, a truly repentant heart. You have to call upon the Father and repent from your heart, heartfelt, that it was your sins that made the Lord place His only begotten Son on that cross to die in your place, to die in my place, to pay the price for our sins. And when you ask the Father for forgiveness for that, then you can call upon Jesus Himself, that only begotten Son of God, the one who actually takes away the sins. And then you can ask Jesus to what? Come into your life. To be Lord of your life. But you have to be willing to do this without reservation. You have to make Him number one in your life. You have to make Him important. You have to live your life for Him, be willing to obey Him, obey His what? His laws, His judgments, His statutes, His commandments. And He will give you the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and that is your down payment on everlasting life. Once you have that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you can never lose your salvation. You become a child of the kingdom, a born-again believer, a son or daughter of the very living God, a joint heir with Jesus. And your life will be changed forever. It's a decision only you can make. No one else can save you. No one else can help you. We can tell you things in Scripture, but you have to want to call upon the Father yourself. You have to want to become this child of the kingdom, a born-again believer. You decide. God sends no one to hell. You choose whether you go to heaven with Jesus or you suffer the consequence of being on the wrong side. You have to choose, and the sooner you choose, the safer it is, because we never know if there's going to be a tomorrow. Many, many people will die tonight. Many of them, well, we're one day going to call upon Jesus.
All over the world that'll happen tonight, yep. Huh? So by this time tomorrow, there's millions of people that are here will no longer be here, and millions that aren't here will be. But anyhow, we want to say good night, as we do at this time every night. God bless.
Bless.
And always keep fighting the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.